Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning, a great night for the New York baseball teams. The Mets blow out the Phillies. The Yankees hang on after having a big lead, winning their second game in a row against the Angels. Five in a row, seven out of eight. The replacement Yankees continue to roll. Luke Voit with a couple of home runs. Mike Ford with a home run. We got a brand new John Sterling call with that one. And the Brooklyn Nets go out with a whimper in an elimination game, getting their doors blown off after being punked and pushed around and intimidated by the 76ers. They had nothing in Game 5. Nothing at all to muster up an elimination game. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I am tired, Joe. Flipping around all these channels and all these games and everything going on last night. And I basically pretty much stayed up and watched everything I possibly could. You know, the biggest winner thus far in all the playoffs, both in the NBA and the NHL, to me is Damian Lillard.
Oh, yeah.
All
he's
right,
great.
So Damian 50 Lillard points. Is insane. He had a shot last night. It was like a step back 37-footer. That was ridiculous. And he basically told Russell Westbrook, bye-bye. And I think he is like the big winner in all of like the playoffs. I guess you could say, you know, the Islanders won so long ago and they swept, and so did the Columbus Blue Jackets, that, you know, they're obviously winners too, especially with who they beat, Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay. But this Damian Lillard performance in this particular series against Russell Westbrook was really eye-opening. It was like, it's almost like, hey fellas, here I am, boys.
Can I guess you're setting up a big loser? This is what you're doing. You're setting up, you went with your big winner, so you could set up your big loser, and I think I can guess who your big loser is.
Who do you think the big loser is?
Well, is that what you're doing?
I'm not, but I will. I will continue along that. I will shift to the right now, and I will talk about the biggest loser, who I think you are probably disappointed with, because you were hoping that there was going to be this storybook ending to the Islanders season.
Yeah.
Where the Islanders would play the Capitals in the next round, depending on what happens in a game seven tonight down in Washington between them and the Canes. And then, of course, facing the Toronto Maple Leafs, in the second round of the playoffs, which would have been, Maple Leafs
conference final.
Yes. So I know that's what you wanted, and I thought John Tavares actually played his ass off last night. I hope he ripped into his team in between the first and second period. I was so disgusted with the way they played the last 5 minutes of that game. But saying all of that, you got Zach Wheeler coming on the heels of Steven Matz, pitching a great game. And then on top of that, you have those replacement baby Yankees, the baby of the baby Yankees, winning another game. And Luke Voit now finally, I think, solidifying that, you know, he belongs here. There's no more questions about whether or not last year was a fluke and he had a nice little run towards the end of the year and he injected some life. Is he going to be a Shane Spencer? Is he going to fizzle out? What's going to happen here? He's basically loving life right now. That kid is just, you know, humping it around the bases. He's a ginormous human being, and he's hitting home runs. And yeah, it doesn't get much better than that. And you can see the smile on his face.
Yeah, I think the Yankees are the most fun right now in this stretch of winning five in a row, seven out of eight, since 2017.
I would agree with that.
I mean, honestly, and I know it's a small sample size, but they are the most fun because the high expectations that the 2018 Yankees had coming into the season after going to Game 7 of the ALCS were never really met, because the Red Sox were wire to wire in the division. there was a Giancarlo Stanton slow start, so the old Judge Stanton thing never really materialized with those two guys in the lineup at the same time, raking at the same time, because the Judge injury sort of took him out of that after Stanton finally got on track. And then they were out in the playoffs in the blink of an eye to the Boston Red Sox. So this is the first time since 2017 where that was an unexpected run that the Yankees had, where they've been fun. It's different. It's energy. It's guys you've never heard of. It's Thyro Estrada. Who? It's Mike Ford. Who? It's Tauchman. Who? It's Wade robbing home runs. It is awesome and fun to watch. And they're beating up on bad teams. And they're playing the Angels, who are a bad team. They got the San Francisco Giants after that, bad team. They beat up on the Royals, bad team. But who cares? They've won 5 in a row, 7 out of 8, with a bunch of guys we never expected to see this year.
In August, if the Yankees are anywhere near first place and they get all their guys back, all these guys today and during this run, no matter, depending on how far it goes and how well they end up doing, will be looked on as a season-saving performance if they can continue it this way. And Aaron Boone deserves a lot of credit for that. There's something about chemistry, and it seems like these guys all recognize, as we hear, you know, I was listening to Mark Teixeira being interviewed yesterday, and, you know, A-Rod talking about the Yankees. Oh, these are not the Yankees. These are all the minor league players. Hey, look, guys, these are the same guys that you once were, that were hoping to get to the bigs and then leave a mark and then get a ginormous contract. And then all you guys got hurt and the younger guys had to take over for you. Yeah. And to the credit of Brian Cashman, I don't know how he's doing it.
Well,
I have no idea.
Brian Cashman will believe that all of these guys would be up at the same time.
I know that, but the Mike Fords of the world, the Luke Voits, the Estradas, who gets his first, I think he had his first hit last night.
Yeah, he did, and Mike Ford, his first home run. Yep. Yeah. I mean, these guys are all over the place doing their first. There's so many firsts that are happening with this group.
I cannot believe that I'm sitting here and I'm talking about the Yankees, the freaking Yankees, the $5 billion Yankees. I wonder what the collection of salaries are for this group of guys.
Yeah, the lineup last night.
If you look at last night's lineup, I got to pull it up again. What do you think that collectively they make as much as who?
I mean, you got to think about. I mean, probably the Rays are in there. Whatever the Rays lineup was last night.
I'm trying to talk about one player on their team. Collectively they don't make as much as Stanton.
Oh, like Trout, probably. Yeah,
they don't make as much as Jacoby Ellsbury. That's right. For sure. Collectively, right?
Yeah, it's fun too because the Yankees, when everybody is healthy, everybody's just expecting wins, get to the postseason, go on a long run, bunch of strikeouts along the way with Judge, Stanton, and Sanchez, some pass balls. It's the same stuff, same annoying stuff that you see. But these guys, you don't know what to expect every single night. And the fact that they're winning, as we said, everything's great now. They're winning. This team goes on a 5-game losing streak. Everybody's calling up saying the season's over.
All right, dude. Wade, Estrada, Romine, Tauchman, right? Ursula, Ford, Torres, Gardner, Voit, LeMayu. Gardner and LeMayu are making some money. That's about it.
Yeah.
And Romine is making a little money, but that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. It is, and they just continue to win. And Domingo Armand, another nice start last night. Now, Chad Green has got to figure himself out because he has been brutal for them. And a grand slam, because they had a big lead, grand slam didn't hurt him last night from Justin Bour. But, I mean, this is a guy who has been so solid and so good for them. Sixth inning, seventh inning, and someone who has to recalibrate himself because the Yankees are going to need him desperately, especially with the Betances injury. And he's been flat out horrendous.
Well, you know,
horrendous.
The other thing is, Domingo Germán was great last night.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I don't know what to make out of it other than you just got to take it one situation at a time, and you just got to continue to win. You just got to continue to play with great chemistry. And right now, this young group of players are making their mark, if you will. It'll be interesting to see what happens as the older guys come back, assuming that the older guys pick up where these guys are going to leave off.
Yeah, I mean, I almost don't want to see Gary Sanchez now. It's almost like I don't want to see him striking out. I don't want to see pass balls. I don't want to see that stuff. Now, I'm being facetious because the guy, when he's right, is the best offensive catcher in baseball. But you need to start getting some of these guys back. But as long as this continues to go, it's almost like, here, take your time. Fine. Don't worry about it. You know, get healthy. These guys will handle it. It's not a big deal. When you start running into the better teams, though, in baseball with this group, that's going to be a little bit different. Because right now, I mean, you're facing basically the same talent level that the Yankees are throwing out there on a night-in, night-out basis with the Royals, the Angels, the San Francisco Giants. But another win last night late for the Yankees, and the Mets at home against the Phillies, a blowout victory against the Phillies, and Zach Wheeler did it all. Three RBIs, hits a home run. He had two RBIs earlier in the game, and he was just amazing on the mound as well, in command, and that was great to see. And then Todd Frazier, who we've all been crushing because we don't want to see Todd Frazier because we feel like that's old regime, pre-Brody, signing old injured guys that can't hit. Todd Frazier with a grand slam last night, so you kind of felt good for him because we know how good of a guy he is. So that must have felt great after being on the DL, the IL, for so long with his oblique to come back, hit a grand slam against a division rival. That was a great win for the Mets last night.
You know, for Todd Frazier and other guys like him, no matter, you know, what team you play for, when you come back to a team, you want to have an immediate impact, and you want to basically justify you taking somebody else's spot that has actually been playing pretty well. And I think when you hit a grand slam against your, you know, division rivals, and you do it in fashion when, you know, the night before you played well, that kind of just sits well with everybody. And everybody now kind of understands that maybe he will be a force. Who knows? Maybe we'll catch a little lightning in a bottle with him. Because last year, you know, for a guy who never got injured, you know, as soon as you put the Met uniform on, you get injured.
Right.
So now he's back, and hopefully this is going to be a long run for him. You know, and he'll stay healthy and he'll stay productive. That's going to be the key thing. And then, of course, if you watch sports, you inevitably will see something that you've never ever seen before. And I know you didn't watch this. I did because I'm a lunatic. Last night in San Jose was something that happened that I have never seen in a Game 7 in my life. And I've watched a million Game 7s. There's nothing like it in the NHL. The guys are out there killing each other. You know, they're playing like their lives dependent on it. And Vegas was winning 3-0 with 10 minutes and 47 seconds to go at San Jose. Vegas takes a penalty. The officials deem it a 5-minute major penalty, which means the team that goes on the power play can score as many goals during those 5 minutes as humanly possible without the guy coming out of the penalty box, hence the major aspect of it. The San Jose Sharks, in a span of less than 5 minutes, score 4 freaking goals, take the lead, and then give up the lead with less than a minute to go when Vegas empties the net, takes their goaltender out, and Vegas ties it, and then they go into overtime, and then San Jose wins late in the first period of overtime. It was an insane hockey night. It was an insane bad call, I thought, by the officials to give a 5-minute major to San Jose, but it was ultimately the game changer. As their captain Pavelski goes down, hits his head on the ice, in what I would consider like a weird collision, but yet they assess a 5-minute major and they throw out Cody Eakins, and the next thing you know, San Jose goes on to win when Vegas was in control of the game the whole night. It was amazing to watch that unfold, because at that moment you're thinking San Jose is going to lose in front of their home team, a home crowd, and it's going to be just another downer year for them. But somehow, some way, a miracle happened.
Yeah, I am excited for the Islanders to start up their second round series, and that does sound exciting, but you couldn't get me to watch Golden Knights Sharks unless I was in a hostage situation. So I was not going to put that game
well,
on.
You've always told me, hey, there's nothing like playoff hockey.
Yeah,
that's what
I
said.
Know, but I mean, Golden Knights Sharks in the first round.
Yeah,
that's
it was
just
unbelievable.
That's not,
those
I mean,
two teams hate each other.
Yeah, news to me. But yeah, the Brooklyn Nets, though, I wish they had a game like that in an elimination game. My God, was that pathetic. You blink your eye and it's 14-0. It completely blew him out. And it was never, ever, ever a factor. Even Kenny Atkinson said that he thought maybe at halftime they'd come back, make a little bit of a run. Nothing. absolutely nothing. And I know that the narrative, if you will, around this team is, wow, a good building year for them, and they're still in a really good spot.
And that's what it should be.
Yeah, but none of those guys were saying that going into the playoff series. All about, we're not just happy to be here.
I know.
And it's a different thing when you just lose to a better team. When you get pushed around, intimidated, embarrassed, laughed at, and then in the elimination game get your asses kicked, I don't care about it being a nice building year for you. That is a thud. You just landed with a thud, and you won game one. You stole a game from them.
The team wins and loses by what? The Nets, the way they play basketball.
By the three-pointer, and they couldn't hit the three-pointer.
They shot horrendously this particular series. But the one thing is obvious and evident. If they are to move forward in the Eastern Conference, they better get somebody that's going to be able to deal with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. They don't have anybody that can cover either one of those guys.
Yeah.
I was really wrong. I thought this was the perfect matchup for them. And when they went and stole game one, I'm like, hey, you know, maybe they make this a series. But when those two guys decided to say, you know, after they got booed in game one and after Embiid and all that other nonsense in game two, the next thing you know, those two guys just basically said enough is enough. And then, of course, the Nets didn't shoot well. I guess it's pretty simple. If you hit your threes, you win. If you miss your threes, you lose.
Yeah. So now we can turn back to the Knicks and focus on the New York basketball team that the people care about, because now the Nets are out. We don't have to listen to all the Net fans boast about how great their season was. You got your asses kicked. You're out. And nobody cares anymore. It's over. It's all about the Knicks. And the draft lottery, Tuesday, May 14th, and then free agency in Durant. That's what it's about now. So you had your nice little run where everybody was paying attention to you when the Knicks were on their way to their worst record in franchise history. I hope you soaked up every minute, because now it's over. See ya. See you next time the Knicks play you, when people only buying tickets to see the Knicks in your building. When it goes back to normal and everything gets restored normally, and it was a nice little run for you, Evan and Mike Bisseglie and all the guys out there that are big Net fans that go down and buy tickets off of StubHub and go to Evan's little box, and it's done. It's over. See ya. You guys stink. That was a waste of time last night. What a waste of time. You should be embarrassed that your team came out and laid down like a bunch of dogs in an elimination game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.